goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Lift up your voices, lift up your thoughts to Him right now, even if it's just saying His name, just declaring that He's worthy, that He's good, that He's holy. Just the fact that the goodness and the holiness combine in Him. He's holy, He's completely set apart, He's completely higher than we are, and yet He's good. He comes down and He provides for us, He gives to us. He is pleased to dwell with us.
Seraphim, falling down Father, we thank you this morning that we worship a holy God because we are very aware that we are in a broken world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one that brings peace and you bring wholeness to our lives. And for that, Lord, we acknowledge and confess to you once again this morning how much we depend on you. We depend on you, Lord, to take everything that's broken in our lives and make them whole. We acknowledge you as Lord and God. We acknowledge you as our Savior. We acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us this morning. And we acknowledge our desire to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. And this morning we want to begin a new series called Embracing a New Season. Because we are, as a church, entering into a new season. As our church knows, and this is to help our visitors understand the context, this last Sunday, we announced to the church a pastoral search team, because as a reminder, I am your transitional pastor. And so we are entering into a season to begin that search to determine who is going to lead Trinity Christian Chapel in the next 50 years. And so it represents a new season that we enter into, representing new beginnings. And we know that with new beginnings come a lot of questions. And also comes a lot of excitement. But also comes with lots of fear. And also comes with lots of joy. In other words, it comes with a whole range of emotions. We know that in our midst, our worship and youth pastor is entering into a new beginning in less than a month. Comes with lots of fear. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully with tons of joy. But it comes with a lot of questions because for those of us that are married, you remember the very first day of marriage, you're like, well, I don't know about you. I'll just confess. I sometimes wondered, I have no idea what I'm doing. In fact, my wife may say, you still don't have any idea what you're doing. I remember the first time holding my oldest son, our first child. And if you have children, you remember what like that was like. Awestruck, scared to death. I remember the first time he was handed to me, it's like I was so afraid I was going to drop him. So many things that come with the mystery of a new season. And so I want to speak this morning around the Lord's table, around communion. And to set the stage for that, I'd like to have us look at Luke chapter 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture that goes into the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23. And when the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table or on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. and they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. I want you to think with me about all of the unanswered questions the disciples were facing in these last moments. The Last Supper was, without question, an ending and a new beginning. At this Last Supper, Jesus is saying these strange things, like, among the 12 that are sitting there, one of you is going to betray me. Imagine if I made that announcement this morning, that one of you is going to betray the Lord Jesus. You probably would lose track of everything else that I had to say. And we know that he shared with them other things. He told them that, he told Peter later, you're going to in fact deny me. And he was telling them things like, I'm going to die, but I'll be raised again. And then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. All of these things that for us sound very familiar as we look back in hindsight, but as they're anticipating what is to come, they're hearing things like, I'm going to be put to death, one of you is going to deny me, and all of you will scatter in doubt, not believing. And we know the reality is that even after this Last Supper, even after Jesus goes to the cross, even after he is raised from the grave, the disciples are found by Jesus hiding in fear because of not knowing what to anticipate. We know, in fact, they were scattered. They were hiding in fear the first time they encountered Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And so in the same way as we embrace the new season in which we are entering, we need to stay focused on God every step along the way. Because with that focus, even in the midst of not being sure what to expect, we can be assured that we will experience joy and victory and clarity of direction for our future. And that would be a good thing, wouldn't you agree? But here's the thing. As we anticipate that, we may face the future with fear and doubt and anger and confusion. Let's face the reality. Some of us here probably are thinking, why is it, God, that we even have to be looking for a new pastor? Why did we have to go through the things that we've gone through in these last few years? And then as we start anticipating meeting and talking to pastoral candidates, the confusion and trying to figure out, is this the right one? And the fear, let's face this fear. The fear, what if we mess it up? Because we don't dare mess it up another time. Am I hitting any buttons right now? And so the Lord wants us, and he wants to know you to know as a church that he understands all of those fears. Don't you think that Jesus, as he was sharing those things with the disciples, and he was laying things out for them that they didn't understand, that he knew that they were afraid? Because he later said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And they learned that message because later one of the apostles says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so despite what we've been through individually and as a church, the reality is Jesus is in fact the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we turn our focus to all that Jesus accomplished at the cross to be settled on the assurance of our future. Here is the beauty of the message that we celebrate as we come to the Lord's table once again this month. First of all, there is no do-over. It's finished. Jesus doesn't have to come back and die again. God will not change his mind and say, oh, Jesus, I need to talk to you about something. It wasn't quite enough. It was all that was needed to accomplish salvation of our souls and to change the destiny of all of our lives. We experience complete, unconditional freedom in Christ. And even though the message that Jesus gave to the disciples, it was a difficult message, it was, in its difficulty, a message of deliverance and freedom. And so that should encourage us that even though there are times the Lord gives us a message, this is what I want you to do, and we're going, Lord, I don't want to. Lord, I don't know how to. Lord, this is hard. He understands how hard it is, and at the same time, he understands that behind the difficulty is a message of deliverance and freedom. Every time you take communion, you align yourself with the broken body and the blood of Christ. You align yourself with one who is completely acquainted with grief, sickness, disease, and sadness. Communion is this opportunity for us to be reminded of who we are. It's an opportunity for us to be thankful in all things. And here's the thing. Thankful people attract breakthrough. You want some breakthrough? Take the worst circumstances you are facing in your life right now and say, Jesus, I don't understand. But even in the midst of the circumstances, I give thanksgiving to you. And that will attract breakthrough. Every time we take communion, we are reminding the enemy of his failure to defeat Christ and his failure to defeat us. So I want us to begin to prepare our hearts to receive communion. How do we prepare? How should we prepare our hearts this morning for receiving communion and embracing this new season? The pastoral search team for Trinity is meeting together tomorrow night for the first time. It represents a whole new season for Trinity. And so one of the very first things that you can make a note of this morning is we need to embrace mystery. I shared last week, a few weeks ago, a very close friend of mine, pastor of a very large church in California, a church in which hundreds, maybe thousands of people have been healed of cancer, suffered the loss of his wife, who died on July 13th of breast cancer. And on the Sunday after her death, my friend Bill stood and he said, in this season, I have no other choice than to embrace mystery. Because God doesn't owe me an explanation. But I have the opportunity to embrace who he is, despite what I don't understand. Jesus replied to the disciples when he's talking about the seed and the sower, and explaining to the disciples what that was all about, the kingdom of God and all that, he said, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. You have a privilege as a child of God, and I just want to encourage you not to waste this. You have a privilege as children of God to embrace mystery. Don't get childish in your faith and wait to do things because you have to understand it before you do it. Now, I'm not saying be stupid, but I am saying be obedient. And God doesn't have to explain everything to me in order for me to step out in faith to do something. Whether it's stepping out in faith to get married, whether it's stepping out in faith to be a pastor, whether it's stepping out in faith to talk to my neighbor about the Lord, all of those kinds of things. How many times do we talk ourselves out of what God wants us to do because we're trying to figure all of it out? The word secrets in the scripture originated from the word mysterion, which means mystery or hidden things. And secrets don't stroll in public places. So that means we have to search for them. God won't require us to ask and seek and knock if there's nothing for us to find in the first place. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Did he say that because he's like, I'm just going to play a game with you and just hide these things? You know, when we have Easter egg hunts, where do we hide the Easter eggs for the little kids? Right out in plain sight, right? Where do we hide the Easter eggs for the teenagers and the adults? They're probably still sitting around here somewhere. God hides things so that we will seek him. He hides things so that we'll ask him for revelation that we would not have if we didn't pursue him. Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search things out. Be a king. Be a queen. Be a son or daughter of the king and seek him out. And so we embrace mystery. The second thing is we recognize our faith will be tested and we will be tempted to run. That's what the disciples faced. Let me say something to you as a church in regards of our pastoral search team. Seven members that have volunteered to serve. Don't you dare complain about what they're doing. I know that sounds hard. But that's part of the temptation to run. Our tendency is to get critical. Let me ask you if you agree with this question. Do we live in one of the most cynical, critical ages in the history of civilization? Well, doggone it, let's get it out of the church. Let's get it out of the church. Let's get the spirit of criticism and cynicism and my way or the highway stuff out of the church because we got enough of it in the world. Let's quit spending time on our social networks and all of that kind of stuff, reading the junk that's out there from people. You realize half the stuff that's on the social network is produced by other foreign nations. I won't name any. Just to get us sidetracked and turning in and biting and devouring one another. And it's time, brothers and sisters, that we wake up and set an example for the world. And wow, if the pastoral search team can't have the freedom to do what God's called them to do without us holding them back and gossiping and bickering and all that kind of stuff, then let's forget it and close the church down now. We want to do something different, don't we? We want to set an example for this region of South Jersey that's going to change the atmosphere. We want to pray into revival. We have an intercessory team that every week is praying for the pastoral search team. And they're praying for them to have wisdom, but more than that, they're praying that revival would break out in this church and begin to affect the neighborhoods around us. The more often we are tested, the more confident we will be that God will come through for us. The other thing is, in the midst of this, we learn to depend completely on the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we bring a sacrifice of praise. In the Hebrew scriptures, a sacrifice, and when Jesus went to the cross, a sacrifice means something dies. So that means a sacrifice of praise signifies the fact that my opinions, my understanding, my way of doing things, there are oftentimes they need to die. And in exchange for sacrifice, I offer praise. You realize, I haven't quite figured this out yet, so bear with me, But on the other side of the veil, I don't think we're going to have to bring a sacrifice of praise. Because we're going to live an eternity just praising God, but it won't be a sacrifice. Because we won't have any trials. We won't have any difficulties. We won't have circumstances where we're saying, God, I don't understand, but I praise you anyway. Because we'll have full understanding. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I can hardly wait for that time. Hebrews says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. What are you willing to lay down on the altar? That's a good answer. So this morning, as we get ready to prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to think about this as being an altar, being a place where our sacrifice is our lives. Our sacrifice is bringing all that we are and all that we are going to be and saying, Lord, unless you bless it, we're not going anywhere. The disciples received the first communion. Isn't it interesting they received the first communion, and at the same time we identify the time as the Last Supper? It was certainly the Last Supper of one season, but praise be to God, it was the first of a new season. And as we receive communion today, as a church, I would like to encourage us to receive it as the Last Supper of one season, and the opportunity for us to embrace all that God has for us in a new season. And then for you as individuals, if you're facing things in your life where God, you need God to intervene and make changes, your sacrifice of praise this morning in receiving communion is to say, Lord, I'm making this the Last Supper of an old season, and receiving it in faith that it will be the beginning of a brand new season of breakthrough, change, and victory. I'd like you to pray with me as we get ready to prepare our hearts to receive communion. I'd like you to put your hand over your hearts. I want you to just think in your mind about the things that the Lord wants you to let go this morning. Ideas, opinions, fears, doubts, that you've been hanging on to way too long. And I'm going to pray for breakthrough. But the way you attract a breakthrough is to say, Lord, even though I'm afraid, even though I doubt, I still thank you in the midst of where I'm at. So let's just take a moment with our hands and our hearts. Just say with me, in your mind, you can say it out loud. Lord, I give thanksgiving to you. I thank you for who you are. I'm thankful for you paying attention to me. I thank you for the salvation that I have. I thank you for new life. I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you that I don't have to live according to the old things, but I can live according to new things. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I'm believing that you will bring breakthrough, that you will bring fresh wisdom and fresh revelation that will allow me to experience the changes that you want made in my life and in the life of our church. Pray in Jesus' name. I'd like to invite those that are helping us with communion to come, and we're going to serve first of all the bread and then the cup, and ask you just to hold on to the bread until everybody has been served, and then the same with the cup. You ever think about how weird it is we receive communion? I mean, really, when you think about it. We eat a piece of bread, a cracker. We drink a cup of juice. And somehow, in the mystery of that receiving, God's grace is increased in our lives. You know what that shows me? That shows me that God can take anything he wants. Release his grace. That encourages me because he can take me with all of my flaws and hurt, my mistakes and faux pas, and even in the midst of that, can release more grace. So even as you take the cup, or as you take the bread, and then you take the cup, I want you to think about your own life, that no matter how many times you've failed, no matter how many times you've come up short, that's the old way. A new time has come. This is the day of a new beginning. You guys can come. Father, as we take this little piece of bread, we're going to receive it, Lord, as the broken body of Christ. And as his body was broken, so our lives are made whole. And we ask, Lord, that you would nourish us afresh once again. We bless the bread. Let's receive the bread together. And in the same way, we will receive the cup. And as I shared, just ask everybody to hold on to the cup until everyone is served.
It's a new day, fresh anointing, yeah, it's coming my way. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new.
If there's any area in your life this morning that you need a breakthrough, physical breakthrough and a healing, emotional, financial breakthrough, a new job, anything that represents a new beginning, I encourage you, as in a moment we receive the cup, that you receive it in faith, because we know that by Jesus' blood, it's the salvation of our souls. By his stripes we are healed. For that we're so grateful. Father, we bless the cup as we receive it together. I want to invite Pastor Nelson to come. He's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Our Father, as we enter into a new season, we remember that Jesus introduced a new season in a way when he said we're to pray that the king, that your kingdom, Father, would come. And so, Lord, this is a step in that direction for each of us individually, for this congregation. I ask, Lord God, that we will fully yield to you, that we will depend entirely on the Holy Spirit embracing the mystery. Oh, Lord God, opening our heart and life to what you want to do and how you want to work in us. Lord, for this church, for this congregation, for this community, for the other churches in this community, for the people of Somalia, the people of North Korea, where the church is so persecuted, we pray, Lord God, that there may be a new season of the grace of God and of your triumph over the enemy. And for this, we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
stand with me? Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus. Jesus Messiah, his body the bread.
His body the bread, his blood the wine.
The next song.
Broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing.
Sing that again with me. This is the new covenant in his blood.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn.
The veil was torn.
Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
Yes, you are.
Emmanuel,
God with us, pleased to dwell with his people. Amen.
The rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus, Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. Is in you.
Let me hear you.
All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God. The light of the world.
Let me keep hearing you.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sin. Jesus, Jesus, Messiah, Lord of hosts.
I want you to put out your hands in front of you to receive these words that come right after the writer of Hebrews talks about the sacrifice of praise. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." And everybody said, amen. Go in peace.